Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
He saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, And blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You may be seated. I want to talk to you for a few moments today on the subject, redefining the church. You know, people want to redefine who you are. They want to define who you are. They want to tell you who you are. They want to decide what to call you. They want to decide what your pronoun is. They want to decide what your beliefs are and how they can label you. And so there's a lot of people that want to define the church, or I should say redefine the church. The world wants to redefine the church, but it's not theirs to define. Nor is it the privilege of the pseudo or counterfeit Christian, of which there is many, to define the church. The only people authorized to define the church is Jesus Christ, because he built it and purchased it with his blood and his true disciples, which would include you and me. Jesus both purchased it and built it so he can define it. But we as disciples, because we have experienced the power of the church, we can and should define it. In order to define the church, we are blessed that God gave us a pattern in the Bible. It's the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a definitive picture of what the church should be. I remember years ago, a pastor trying to build a very small church, and the congregation was literally building it themselves, and he had a few carpenters in the church, and they would work at night, and the pastor was like me. He had very few skills. But he said, I'll work during the day when y'all are not here. And so they would lay him out things to do. One of the things they laid him out to do in the day while they were at work was to cut all the trusses, all the rafters. They said, now here is one that is finished. This is what's going to go up and hold the roof up. And so this is your pattern. And so cut it just like this. And when we come back, we will assemble it and we will put it up this evening when we get here. And so the pastor cut all those trusses, like 20 or 30 of them, spent all day. But the problem was he did not follow the pattern of the first one. He cut the first one from the pattern, but he cut the second one from the second one and the third. And so each time he was losing about an inch. And so when they got there to assemble them, they all had to be discarded because he did not copy the original pattern. He copied the copy. And today we have strayed from what the church is supposed to be. In order to understand what the church is supposed to be, you have to understand a little bit of what the Bible is. You know, if you didn't have the privilege of Bible college or seminary, you should know that the Old Testament is really not the church. The Old Testament is the history of Israel and Israel's relationship with God. When you understand that, that helps you a lot. That's the reason why we do not try to isolate our salvation in the Old Testament. Once you understand the types and shadows, it becomes complementary. But that's not where we find the gospel. And so we would think to find the gospels that we would go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But that's not the church either. That's simply the record of Jesus Christ's life, his birth, his life, his burial, his resurrection, the miracles and the teaching he did while here. But it's just the record of Christ's life for 33 and a half years. And then you skip over the book of Acts and go to the book of Romans all the way through Revelation, and that's not the church either. That's simply the behavior pattern of the church. It's what Christ would like us to behave like, and that's how he would like for us to act. The only real pattern of the church is the book of Acts. God wants his church to be like the book of Acts. You know, there is some discussion when it says the book of Acts, whether it's the Acts of the Apostles or it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's truly both. It's the acts of the apostles as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why the church is in problem today. We've got the acts of people, but in many cases, they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So the only pattern we have of the church is the book of Acts. Some have speculated, well, it's not the acts of the Holy Spirit, it's the acts of the... No, it's both. It's the way the church should be. It's what God wants us to be. That's God's church, people filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot be disciples or apostles if we are not filled with the Spirit. We can't follow Christ in the flesh. We have to be led of the Holy Spirit. The New Testament church began not when Christ was born. It began on the day of Pentecost. That's when the Bible records that the church began. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There appeared unto them cloven tongues. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. So began the church. These were just normal people. But now they were filled with an abnormal spirit. They were just natural people that were filled with the supernatural. It changed them and transformed them. I can tell you, my friend, that the gospel is a transforming agent. If you really get born again, you will become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The reason why so many so-called Christians are frustrated today is that we're trying to disciple unsaved people. Our churches are filled with people that are not saved, that are not filled with God's Spirit. And then we go to the epistles and try to disciple them when they do not have the necessary ingredient of the Holy Spirit in their life. All of the epistles from Romans on, all of those were written to Holy Ghost baptized people. And the majority of the Christian church today is not Holy Ghost baptized. And so we're taking these lessons and trying to apply them to people that simply do not have the ability to fulfill what God said. Remember, the church began at the opening of the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is the only book in the Bible that has no ending. It never finishes. It just quits in Acts chapter 28. That's because it is a continuing church. And so the Apostle Paul, when he came into the church and got saved, he came preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus spoke of the church, it was always in future tense. He realized that when he walked this earth for 3.5 years in his ministry, that the church was not yet. It was always in future tense. He always said, I will, future tense, build my church. He always said, these will things will happen, talking about the church. He said, greater works than these shall you do. But it was always, always in the future. He knew his church did not begin until Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. What is God's people supposed to be like? The church is not this building. When I was a young boy, they still referred to churches as church houses. Nobody ever said, we're going to church. They said, we're going, when I was a young boy, we're going to the church house. Years ago, we dropped that word house, and now we go to the church. But that's really a misnomer. This building is not the church. You're the church. I'm the church. The people are the church. What kind of people are we supposed to be if we are God's church? We can't be defined by the world. We need to define ourselves. The people of the church are people that attend God's house. Somebody said, I love the Lord. I just don't like going to church. There's something sadly wrong with that statement. Friend, if you are really born again, you will want to congregate with your brothers and sisters. I know people that won't move out of the city to get a better job because they won't leave their siblings or their parents, their family. There's something about family that wants to get together. If you get born again, you're going to want to come to God's house. This is family. The Bible calls the church the family, the whole family, in heaven and under heaven on earth. That's who we are. You know that Jesus Christ showed us by example what he wanted. And a lot of people just say, well, I don't go to church, but God understands. You know, the Bible said this in Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, he being Jesus, where he had been brought up. And his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. It was Jesus Christ's custom to go to church. He attended the church building. It was the synagogue then, but he attended faithfully. Why is it Christ would attend church and we as the people do not attend the church building? Something wrong with that scenario. Same thing I've heard people say, you know, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Why was Jesus finding a necessity for him to be baptized? It was necessary for Christ to go to the church building. It was necessary for Christ to be baptized, but it's not necessary for us to do any of those things. Friend, those are misnomers and misunderstandings. God's people are people that attend his church house. Number two, God's people, the church, are a people of prayer. You say, I don't really like to pray. Friend, when I was a young boy and I was instructed to pray, it became a discipline. I forced myself to pray as a young boy and a young man. But when I look around the world today, it's no longer a discipline, it is a privilege. The fact that I can look at this world that is coming apart by the day. I mean just coming apart in every description of disintegrating. It's coming apart. It is a privilege for me that I can pray. Sometimes I come to the church house. Sometimes I pray in my house. Sometimes I pray in my car. But it's not a discipline anymore. It is a privilege that I can talk to God. And I find when I have prayed, things happen in my life. The Bible teaches us that when Christ came to his church building and they were simply involved in buying and selling, he took a whip, turned the tables upside down, and ran them out and said, my Father's house is a house of prayer. Not only are we to attend God's house, not only are we to be a people of prayer, if we are the church, we are to be people of spirit and truth. You know, we are living in a day where people say, well, you know, there are no absolutes. They talk about there are many ways to heaven. When you say there are many ways to heaven, you're calling Christ a liar because Jesus said, I am the way. There's not many ways. There are one way. Christ is the only way. Christ is the only door. And so the Bible teaches us when Jesus came to the woman at the well, he talked to her about that. And he said, the day will come and now is when the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there is absolute truth, and it's found in the Word of God. What you absolutely believe. I'm still, after all of these years, ever since I was a little boy, I've read the Word of God. I went to college for 4 years to study the Word of God. And every time I get intent in the Word of God, I discover things that I have not understood before. And I'll tell you what, sometimes they're abrasive. What do you mean? Sometimes they're not what I want to read. Sometimes they're not what I'm doing. And I find I have to do a mid-course correction. I am convinced that God is true and every man a liar. God's truth is absolute. There is no variation from it. But it's not just that I have the truth. I have the Spirit of God. I watch people on television teaching the Bible. It's obvious that they don't have the Spirit. They just have the Word. The Bible teaches us it is a combination of the truth and the Holy Spirit in our life. God wants us to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. The Bible said the Father seeketh such to worship him. We're not to be observers of the things of God. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. It's by participation. And the participation of the kingdom of God is that we become worshipers. And the Bible includes in this pattern and this paradigm of what the church is and how we define it, that we are a worshiping people, that we're people of song, that we're people of dance, that we're people of applause, that we're people of joy, we're a people of celebration. God's people have always been that way, and God commands us to be worshipers. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Friend, if you are not praying, if you're not praising, you're not breathing in the Holy Spirit. And if you're not breathing, you're not living. God intends for us to be worshipers of the one and true living God. Not only that, God's church is defined by power and demonstration. The Apostle Paul said, I come to you not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. God intends for us to have that power in our lives. He intends for us to be supernaturally endued and endowed with that Holy Ghost power. We are not simply supposed to be non-entities in the world. We're supposed to be change people. We're supposed to be change agents. We're supposed to be affecting the world. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Not only that, Jesus said in Mark 16 and 15 that we are supposed to be supernaturally empowered. He said, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Don't let the world define the church as an antique or antiquated museum of past theological conceptions. We, my friend, are a living entity. We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be filled with joy. You see that when Peter and John came to the gate, beautiful, they encountered a man there. He was lame from his mother's womb. You understand that people need to repent, not just of their sin that they have committed, but the sin that they were born with. The Bible said the lame man at the gate, beautiful, was lame from his mother's womb. That's the way we come into this world. Every man, every woman must be born again. And when they came to that gate, beautiful, and saw him there, the Bible said this man was a beggar. He expected to receive something from them. And he had defined the church, that the church was simply going to be a bank. The church was simply going to give him money. The church was going to give him alms. That's all he expected from the church. But Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not supposed to be just a church that does good works. We are supposed to be a supernatural church. I talked at the outset of this service what a privilege it is to be able to come into the house of God. In the Old Testament, under the law, they could not. It was a carryover. This man that was lame from his mother's womb had never been inside the church. He was simply a beggar on the steps. But when Peter imparted to him the name of Jesus Christ, took him by the hand, lifted him up, and the strength filled his ankles, he began to walk and leap and praise God in the temple. Why was that? He had never been in church before. Do you understand what a privilege it is that you can come into this house and praise God? Throw your hands up and say, look at what happens to me. I have been changed by the power of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, I am totally complimentary of the fact that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. I am not what I am by my flesh. I am not what I am by discipline. I am what I am by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost lives inside of me. What is that Spirit? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Every day the Holy Ghost affects my life. A supernatural God, that's who we serve, and we are to be a supernatural church. Friend, good things we do. You know, lights are good. Walls are good. We have all kinds of things. We give backpacks out to kids going to school on their first. All of those are good works, but they cannot supplant the real role of the church. The real role of the church is not that we distribute government cheese. That's not what we're called to do. Those are good things, but they're subsidiaries. The real thing that we do is we preach the gospel. When Christ said, the Spirit has anointed me, and he began to enumerate what he was to do, that's what we are to do, to bind up the broken heart, to heal the sick, to preach the gospel to the lost. Friends, we need to pray and fast until the church becomes the church. We cannot let the world identify us. We are a supernatural body with supernatural power. We need to pray, and we're coming to the end time, and I believe that there is an acceleration of anointing for the end time. I believe there really is. I believe you're going to be used of God in ways you've never been used before. Some of you know what it is to pray for somebody and see them immediately healed. But the majority of the body of Christ does not know what that is. But praise God, we're living in a day and time where the church must accelerate its anointing. These come not out but by prayer and fasting. You understand, the world has no answers. Not our government, not the governments of the world. They have no answers. I've never seen the world in such disarray. And to some, that's disheartening. To me, it's make way for the church. Make way for the church of the living God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. God wants us to be His body, His hands, His voice. If Christ was here physically, what would He do? He would work miracles. The church of the living God cannot be redefined by the world. We are to be a miraculous body of believers. False expectation. The man at the gate, beautiful, had false expectation. False expectations of the world cannot define us. We are God's church, and only Christ can define us. And He has defined us as miracle workers. We need to come together often and praise God until the house is filled with His glory. We need to pray often until our anointing is increased. And when somebody says to us, we are sick, let me pray for you. And when we pray for them, they immediately get healed. We need to have the power of God. When somebody said, I am bound by alcohol or drugs, let me pray for you, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, we must get the gospel out of the church to the marketplace, to the schoolhouse, to the workplace. We are the only hope left for the world. The church must rise up. We must rise up. It has been said that China was branded hundreds of years ago as the great sleeping giant by Napoleon. And Napoleon said, let China sleep. If China ever wakes up, we're all in trouble. Well, I got bad news for you. China is awake. They are the superpower of the world. I heard yesterday they have three times the warships that America has. They're in the Bible with a 100 million man army. That's defined in the Word of God. And so China is awakening. America is going to sleep. But friend, the only hope the world has got is that there is a greater giant than China, and it's the church of the living God. But God's church is asleep. They're asleep. They don't go to the polling place. They don't go to the schoolhouse. They allow abortion to become the law of the land. They allow drag queens to entertain their children in school while prayer is totally disallowed. Ladies and gentlemen, the church must arise. The church must awaken itself. We cannot be defined from without. We must be defined from within. The church must be the church. Don't hold your voice. Speak up and speak out. Stand up and praise God. Begin to realize I am God's only hope for this world, and I am filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm not going to let my children go to hell. I'm not going to let my generation be lost. I am the church of the living God. We allow the world to define us. Suddenly, because I preach the word of God, I'm homophobic. So they define me. Phobic means you're afraid. I'm not afraid of homosexuals. I've had great friends that are homosexuals. I've been the only person that some homosexuals would allow to preach their funeral. I have no fear of homosexuals or homosexuality, but they define us as homophobic. We are not homophobic. We are friends of the homosexual because we realize that they are battling just as we battle. Some of you people that are not, you're heterosexual, you battle just as much with the spirit of adultery as they do with the spirit of homosexuality. It's all the same. We are the church of the living God. We are not isolating one group and condemning them to hell. We are saying all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody needs Jesus. man, woman, boy or girl, straight or homosexual, it doesn't matter. Everybody needs to know the love of God. Everybody needs to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody needs to be set free. Everybody needs to be delivered. And friend, if we don't say it, nobody's going to say it. If we don't do it, nobody's going to do it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wake up, church. Wake up. This is our finest hour. We have come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Would you stand on your feet, lift your hands, and say, God, anoint me as I've ever, never been anointed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The church did not come to condemn the world because Christ didn't come to condemn the world. Christ said that. He said the world was condemned already. We didn't come to point out your sin. It was evident long before we got here. We did not come to isolate you on death row. We came with good news, and that is the gate is open. You can walk off of death row. You can walk out of sin. You can walk out of pain. You can walk out of entrapment. You can walk out of addiction. And God's power is a reality. It is a reality. It's not a pseudo-reality. It is a reality. God can set you free. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've recited to you so many times because it was a life-changing experience for me, so I will not take the time to go into the story. But I will tell you it was my privilege to lead to Christ. One of the greatest hitmen in the city of San Antonio. He literally had killed hundreds of people. But praise God, God set him free. God delivered him. God filled him with the Holy Spirit. And when he died clutching the New Testament in his hand. Friend, don't tell me that you are beyond grace. Grace has no limitation. Grace's arms are so long, it reaches to the farthest exterior. God's mercy is so great that it goes to the deepest depth. God's love is so fantastic that it covers every sin. I'm not going to let the world define the church. I'm not homophobic. I don't hate homosexuals. I'm not afraid of homosexuals. I don't hate heroin addicts, and I'm not afraid of heroin addicts. I see us all in this together, and we all need one thing, and that one thing is a man called Jesus Christ. He died and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he said, all of you that are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest.